In last week's Story at Home email, those of you who subscribe to that Bible study email will know, I invited readers to set aside questions of what the Trinity is or how the Trinity works, because those are just impossible questions to answer. The Trinity is fundamentally a mystery. It's a paradox. Three in one and one in three. Sure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always distinct, and yet completely inseparable and always one. Sure. I have described thinking about the Trinity as looking at one of those 3D pictures that were quite popular. I don't know, when I was a teenager anyways, sort of a blurry thing. And if you look at it and you cross your eyes just right, suddenly something will pop out of the poster at you. But as soon as you focus at it, it's gone. That is what the Trinity is like. So instead of getting all fussed about the what or the how, I suggest the important question to think about with the Trinity is why? Why does this way of thinking about God, why does this way of God's revelation to us, three in one and one in three, why does this help us to understand the nature of God and, by extension, the nature of humanity better? And the answer to that question, which interests me most today, as we celebrate National Indigenous History Month, is this. The Trinity tells us that God is not a monolith, not a singular, homogeneous block of sameness. God, by God's very nature, is plural, delights in relationship, delights in diversity, even within the perfect unity of God's own self. This is the God in whose image we are created, which means that we need one another in order to live into the fullness of who we truly are. For we are just one, all by ourselves, incomplete. We need one another for relationship. We need one another to know diversity. We need one another for love and for life. We need one another in order to truly know God in all of God's mysterious and beautiful triune glory. Which makes the double celebration today of Trinity and Indigenous history very good indeed, at least from a preacher's perspective. Earlier this week, the Sacred Circle, which is the central gathering of Indigenous Canadian Anglicans, officially approved the founding documents for the self-determining Indigenous Anglican Church. This body will walk in partnership with the Anglican Church of Canada, but will not be under or even within the Anglican Church of Canada. The documents that will be presented to General Synod and that have already been shared with the whole country are called the Covenant and Our Way of Life. They are very roughly comparable to a constitution and a set of canons, although that diminishes them to call them that. And the Sacred Circle does not claim to speak for some sort of monolithic Indigenous church, because such a thing does not exist. The reality is much more complicated, is much more diverse, and therefore much more beautiful than that. But what these founding documents do is map out the way in which Indigenous communities and individuals will seek to relate to one another as Anglican Church and point the way towards a new relationship between an Indigenous church and the Anglican Church of Canada, distinct, but we pray inseparable, mutually respectful, rejoicing in our differences and also in our unity. And as I read these documents, which are easily accessible, and I will distribute them by email this week, I saw the Trinitarian God revealed in the vision shared by the wise people who created them. I saw the desire of God for difference to lead to creativity and to relationship instead of to domination. I saw the strength of God's trust in the good news of Christ and the power of the Spirit to speak across cultures without needing to be imposed or enforced or limited. I saw the joy of God bringing healing and renewal and freedom to people wounded by the sins of colonialism and racism, which is all of us. And I saw the profound faith of God's people turning towards hope for a new heaven and a new earth where all of creation is in harmony with itself, with humanity, with God. I caught a glimpse of what could have been generations ago had the church understood that the authority of Jesus was already in place on earth and in the heavens and did not need to be brought to bear through the exercise of the church's own usurped power. In the words of the covenant, in the past, we were told that spiritual authority came from somewhere else, from across the waters. We were told that we must become like someone else to have that authority. Today, we know that authority comes from the presence of the risen Christ, wherever two or three are gathered in his name. Upon this power and authority, the sacred circle is founded. Wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he is there. The sacred circle is there, and all that is needed to provide hope and healing is there. Just imagine if the church had understood that making disciples and baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was an invitation to expand the family, to deepen our faith by learning, by receiving, by participating in the life of the Trinity. That it was not a call to impose a European image on those who were already and always perfectly created in the image of God. Imagine if the church had understood then what we are now being taught by the sacred circle. Again, in the words of the covenant, our faith is revealed and understood only through loving practice. This foundation is something we live through our baptismal covenant. Traditional teachings of our indigenous elders are a dear part of the life and culture in which the word becomes flesh. The traditional teachings and values of our various peoples help us to see the depth of God's word. The wisdom of the past is something that we must have to proclaim God's word to our families, to all nations and peoples, and to all of creation. Just imagine what we might have heard. And so today, blessed by the opportunity to join in worship with Indigenous members of God's family, and with the image of the triune God held firmly before us and deeply within us, today, may we have ears to hear the word of God so proclaimed. And now I'm going to invite Brenda to share a story from her own life and faith with us. Brenda.
1976. My mother had just passed away of lung cancer. I was 14 and my brother was 15. We went to live with my Uncle Art and Aunt Sue and their two children, my cousins. We became a blended family. Our first vacation we took together that summer was to attend a powwow at George Gordon First Nations in Saskatchewan. So here we go, loaded up our camper, our tents, and traveled from Edmonton, Alberta to Gordon's, a long 9-hour drive. Up until that point, Brian and I had never experienced camping in the great outdoors. We had many family picnics, but never overnight. We had grown up in the city. A powwow is an event where Indigenous people celebrate their culture and traditions. It is there their traditional dances, singers, musicians gather to compete for prizes. It is a time to showcase Indigenous music, dance, regalia, food, art, craft, and much more. There are different styles of regalia that dancers wear. For example, the buffalo dancer, his regalia or outfit gives thanks to the creator for how the buffalo provides food, shelter, tools, jewelry for the community. The songs of the drummers and singers tell stories of the past and have been passed down from generation to generation. Usually a powwow will start Friday night and last until the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, sorry. There'd be tents, campers, and even teepees set up all around the Grand Circle. Close by, there would be Indigenous arts and crafts and food for sale. The crowds, Indigenous and non-Indigenous, would gather to watch the dancers of all ages. The dancers begin a traditional dance clockwise direction around the drummers situated in the grand circle. Feathers, beaded headdresses, painted faces, chicken dancers, women jingle dancers, fancy shawl dancers, mingled with loud bells of leather leggings of male dancers, beaded moccasins, beaded necklaces. Not all dancers were for competition. There were many dancers there who were invited to join the Grand Circle and the dance. This was called the Round Dance. The singing and the drumming beats pulsating ever more intensely and increasing the volume as the dancers move to the beat of the drum. As midnight drew near, our parents would gather and herd us all kids back to the campsite. Ours was always at the very edge of campgrounds. As I slowly made my way back to the camp, all my senses became alive with the smell of bannock being baked over the open fire, the pungent smell of sage, sweet grass, and tobacco purifying and cleansing the grounds. As I continue along, kicking up the dirt in the air, mosquitoes buzzing in my ears, I can't stop wondering, is this how my ancestors lived long ago? Did my ancestors follow the buffalo herds? As I made my way back into my tent, I laid my head upon the pillow. I rolled down the tarp of the tent window so I could look out and watch what was going on without me. I could still hear the singing of the beating of the drums, like the heartbeat of Mother Earth. Uncle Art, whom by now I was calling Dad, had a bonfire, and I sleepily looked at the smoke as it billowed into the sky, creating images of eagles flying in the sky, buffaloes running free on the prairie landscape. I continue to look into the night sky as a blanket of a million stars dance in time with the music. I drift off to sleep, dreaming of what tomorrow will bring. This was my first powwow. I was 14 years old, and I was in such awe of this experience. Something happened to me that weekend, and for the first time, I couldn't put my finger on it. But it was then I became more aware I was involved with two cultures. It was like I was standing on that threshold, caught in the middle between two worlds, my indigenous heritage and my non-indigenous heritage. But still, I didn't feel like I belonged to neither. It was hard to describe, but as I look back on my life, and as I continue to learn of my indigenous background, I can honestly say that I can continue to experience the richness of two cultures. It has been and continues to be a beautiful gift. I thank my Creator, my loving God, for the gift of the gentle, sweet husband that walks by me during this journey. Sometimes I'm confused, and sometimes I know where I'm going, and sometimes I don't know where I'm going. I'd like to close in a brief prayer. Creator God, loving Father, you created all things through your Son. Grant us humble, accepting hearts so that we can live in harmony, loving one another as we respect all cultures and all peoples. Amen. Miigwech.